So we are looking at a stack of research today that paints a pretty intense picture of the global economy.
It really does. We're tracking what some researchers are calling the Great Wealth Transfer and this historic peak of wealth concentration.
And the mission for this deep dive is really to unpack that, to figure out why the gap between people who own capital and people who, provide labor is getting so wide so fast.
Right.
There's a number right at the top of the data that actually stopped me in my tracks.
What's that one?
The top 0.0001%. That's
Yeah.
fewer than 60,000 people hold three times the assets of the bottom 50% of humanity combined.
Three times. It's an image that's hard to even get your head around.
I'm trying to visualize it. It's like a Taylor Swift concert crowd owning more than half the planet.
Exactly. And to really get why that matters, we have to look at how income and wealth have sort of completely decoupled.
Okay, right. Because the top 10% get about 53% of global income, which is already a lot.
It is a lot. But when you look at wealth, that same group owns 75% of all the assets.
75%.
Meanwhile, the bottom 50%, that's 2.8 billion adults, they own just 2% of global assets.
2%.
It's basically the economy running on two different tracks. You have this billionaire boom where their wealth just surged by $2 trillion in 2024.
Well, at the same time, extreme poverty reduction has just stalled.
Just stalled completely.
Now, the usual argument you hear is meritocracy, right? The idea that these billionaires are just outworking or out-innovating everyone.
Yeah, the self-made myth. But the data here really challenges that.
How so?
Well, it indicates that 60% of billionaire wealth now comes from inheritance, monopoly power, or, cronyism, not pure entrepreneurship.
And that connects directly to the great wealth transfer you mentioned.
Exactly. We're talking about $83 trillion passing to heirs over the next couple of decades.
That isn't money being made, it's money being moved. And you'd think the tax system would catch some of that, but.
The loopholes are just swallowing the rule. The top 0.01% are actually paying a lower effective tax rate than the middle class.
How is that possible?
A big driver of that is something called the stepped-up basis on capital gains.
Okay, that sounds like textbook jargon. Can you break that down?
Sure. Think of it as a reset button. If your grandpa bought a stock for $1 and it's worth $100 when he dies, the heir gets it valued at $100.
So that $99 of profit.
It just vanishes. From a tax perspective, it never existed.
So the whole code favors holding assets over earning a wage. And then you throw technology into the mix, this idea of job polarization.
Right. AI and automation, they displace middle-skill roles, but the productivity gains, all that extra money the AI generates, it funnels to the owners of the capital, not to wages.
So the robots get faster, the owners get richer, and the labor market gets squeezed.
That's the pattern. And there's a dark side to all this capital accumulation.
The climate angle.
The climate angle. The top 1% generates 41% of all capital-linked carbon emissions. That's nearly double the entire bottom 90%.
Wow. So economic inequality and the climate crisis are really two sides of the same coin.
You could definitely see it that way.
So if we play this out, the report models a couple of different futures, right?
Yeah, two main paths. The business as usual model is, well, it's grim. It warns of a potential economic collapse by 2040. The system just eats itself.
But there's another path, the progressive model.
Yes. If policies shift, if you close those loopholes we talked about and invest in public goods, the income share for the bottom 50% could actually double by 2050.
That's just a choice.
It's a choice between more stratification or a pivot toward more equity.
It really feels like we're at a historical zenith of concentration, where the whole economy is shifting from merit to inheritance and just asset inflation.
It raises a fundamental question about social mobility. If wealth is determined by who your parents are, not what you do, the whole incentive structure starts to break down.
It definitely leaves you with a lot to process. Here's a final provocative thought for you to chew on. If AI is projected to create $13 trillion in new output but doesn't raise wages, and 60% of wealth is already inherited, are we heading toward an economy where human labor simply no longer matters for creating wealth? Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.